Welcome to Indie Radio Garden. Here are this week's highlights from community radio in the Philadelphia region.
This program brings ordinary citizens to the air to discuss issues related to health, race, safety, workers' rights, and the will to survive in pandemic times.
Our first clip comes from WPEB 88.1 Scribe Radio from the show Jubilee Voices. The hosts of this show are fourth graders from Jubilee Elementary School, and in this segment, they interview their teacher, Mrs. Vern Oliver, about her family's story during the Great Black Migration.
How was your family involved in the Great Black Migration?
Well, I think I'd like to show you a picture, and you can find the number of people on here. This is a family. I come from a family that was born in Pulaski, or Agmetter, Georgia. And they were the children of an Indian woman who was black and Indian. You study the relationship between Indian tribes and people. This is their mother. I don't have a picture of my grandfather. I don't know why I don't have one. I think it's because of the Great Migration. All of these people, if you look at them, you can tell which ones are. Can you pick the ones out in the family? They all look alike. They're all the same color. This is my father, who was part of another wave of migration. This is my Aunt Susie. All the women except one are sisters. 11 children. My mother was the youngest, and we never knew very much about why she left. All the others had left. And her mother was quite old, and she wanted to go into the world. Everybody was leaving. There was nothing to do. The schools were poor. And since she had relatives in New Jersey, she longed to go to meet them and see them, because otherwise she was just home with her mother, and her father had died by then. So when she died, my brother and I went down to the place where she was born, and there was a little old lady there who said, "Oh, I know when your mother left, because it was a little dinky railroad place, just a little hut. And the train would stop there maybe two or three times a day, that's all." And she hid all of her clothing in a little bag someplace in that area. She didn't even tell her mother she was going, and regretted it. But she left, and she went to Atlanta, where her oldest sister, Aunt Susie, was. But she wasn't very happy there. Couldn't get a job. Now, I guess my mother was, 16? Maybe 16. And her other sister lived in Pittsburgh. That's my Aunt Bessie. So my Aunt Bessie worked for a very wealthy family, and she invited her up. Now, in the meantime, my father, which is this one, I look like my father, remarkable man, too. And he was in, the war started. See, the Great Migration and the Harlem Renaissance really are between two wars. That's the easiest way. And when the United States went into the war in 1914, my father was quite young. He wanted to go into the army. So he ran away from home and went to Gary, Indiana, which is where everybody says there are a million jobs because it's a steel-making place. They wouldn't accept him into the army because my father never shaved. He always looked perpetually young. I never saw my father more than with one little symptom. He always looked like a 15-year-old. And That's how he was there. Then my mother and my father met. He left the steel mills, and he began to work at the University of Pittsburgh because he was a great cook. He was a great cook, but when we were small, we thought he was the worst cook because his cooking was good, but his arithmetic was poor. He must have had maybe a fifth grade education. And so when he cooked at Pitt, he cooked enough for the whole shebang. So he probably cooked maybe 500 or 600 rolls. And when we were growing up, every Saturday he would come home and cook. Now, this is the Depression. Half the people have no money. There's a lady across the street whose husband has water on the knee, which I couldn't quite understand. And there were some Irish people down the corner who were a large family, and they were very poor. And next door to us, there was a German family where there was a teacher, but her husband had died. So that's how we spent our Saturday afternoons. My father would make the rolls, Parker House rolls, and then the lady would smell all this marvelous bread. And so we had to go and give the bread away. The lady across the street would say, "Oh, tell Mr. McCarroll I want some of those rolls over here." And so my father would say, take her a dozen. And then my mother would say, "But you know, I saw the messengers, and those kids look very, very hungry. And you know, he doesn't work, and she's obese. Take these rolls down there." And then somebody else would say, "Oh, Mr. McCarroll, he makes the best cinnamon rolls. Don't forget me." So, and we hated doing it. We hated doing it. But of course, those were days too when a lot of people were sick. You've never seen sick children. So I would walk down the street and I'd say to my mother, "I can't go there because there's a sign which said you couldn't go in because they had measles or mumps or chicken pox or something, and the quarantine." And we were always afraid that, you know, we would get it. And we were pretty healthy. I think I have 3 vaccinations. That's one reason why I live to be so old, I think. Now, of course, this naive 15 or 16-year-old and this uneducated man did marry. And within 4 years, my mother had 3 children. There were 3 of us who were 15 months apart. And in our family, there was always a little secret. We never knew the answer. But my mother, who then, let's say, was 20, 21, had 2 brothers. One was my Uncle Joe, who lived in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and one was my Uncle Horace, who lived in New Jersey. And she must have written them and told them that she didn't like what was going on in her life and that she wanted to come. And they said, "Come on, this is baby sister." And I remember the first house we lived in, I think there was a condo or something there. Because even when I was an adult, every time I would pass some place in New York was near fire, my heart would just beat like, and I was so worried. So I had to learn how to deal with that. Now, the story we probably lucked on that was right was that my father was either drinking or gambling or womening, and my mother left. And that's important. Because he followed her within 2 months. And my father was a remarkable father and was always home. And I think loved my mother so much that my father never had any money in his pocket. So I think it may have been gambling. He would come home every Saturday at 12 o'clock and he would put every penny, every dollar on the table. Now that's important in the history of my family because later on, as the Depression eased, my father said one day to my mother, "You know, I'd love to have my own business." And my mother said, "Oh, why?" "This is Madam Walker you have studied." So everybody started getting their hair processed, and my mother became a hairdresser, primarily because she was interested in the fact that so many kids your age were having their beautiful hair, so she took care of it. She wasn't going to put too much heat, and you braided a certain way. And therefore, she always had plenty of customers. So my mother said, why are you so interested in having your own business? This is a cleaning and dyeing business. And he said, well, I left today, and the boss fired my friend, his colleague. And he said he wasn't firing me because I had too many little you-know-whats. And that disturbed him. So my mother never said anything warmly. And she said, well, I don't know where you think you're going to get a business from. And 3 or 4 days later, she called my older brother and me and said, well, we have to take a ride down to Atlantic City. We were one of the few people in the block that had a huge house and had a car. And so we got down to Trenton. She said, well, I've been saving all the money. And I bought a piece of property, and the state of New Jersey wants to put a highway through. So that was the money that she got that helped my father buy the building and start the business. And I'll finish this story with just one more, the second part of it. This is why it was important in our family. About 10 years later, when all of us were married and had children, my father said, well, you know, I'd love to have a place where I could ride the tractor. I could see all my grandchildren. I don't have to work on Saturday or Sunday. And my mother said again, the old Cherokee, I don't know where you think you're going to get the money for a summer place. And he must have harassed her. And she said again to my older brother and me, well, I guess we better go see Mr. Priest, who is the lawyer, and see what we can do. So one of my cousins who traveled around South Jersey found a house, and we all went to look at it. And it was, I guess this was part of what the Jewish people were doing in that period from 1920 to 1940. Many of them had come over because of the Holocaust, and they wanted something similar to that, or they didn't have enough money to buy houses. So this woman built what's called the Hamburger Colony. Huge house, which was theirs, with a big, well, the playroom was as big as my whole apartment, family room. And there were 14 bungalows on the place. And of the 14, maybe 8 were great and the other were tore down. But the Jewish people had used those for their political connections and their home connections, you know, the families. So we had the summer until my father died, and then my mother, of course, didn't want to go down there. And there were 5 kids, there were 5 of us, and we all had children, and they were all ready for college. So we sold that, and of course we sold the family home. And that's how the kids got through college. Now that's a long answer, but it's an important one because it probably has threads in it which are similar to what all the people did. All of them looking for jobs. Some became ministers. Some worked for General Motors, which is a car making business, which was big in the 40s and the 50s.
Our second clip today on Indie Radio Garden comes from WRLG-LP 92.9, Germantown Live in Richmond Center. On the show of Vanessa's Money Hour, the host Vanessa Lowe interviews Camille Johnson, the program manager from the Women's Opportunity Resource Center of Greater Philly, about their Saving Match programs.
Today's show is about free money. Who doesn't like that? I'm in the studio. We're still in COVID times, so my guest is remote. This is Camille Johnson, runs the Savings Match Programs for Women's Opportunities Resource Center. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. It is a version of an IDA program. IDA stands for Individual Development Account. But let's go ahead and jump right in. All right, so welcome, Camille. Let's start with the Emergency Match Program, because that's not as much money as the other, so we want to build up to the big money.
The first one is called the Emergency Savings Program, and it is a smaller version of the Family Savings Program. We actually just started doing the Emergency Savings Program right before the COVID pandemic hit. We had no idea that this was going to happen. We just kind of sat around the board table and decided that we were going to put something together so that families, low to moderate income families, can establish a savings account. Statistically, it shows that low to moderate income families don't have that quote unquote kitty that we all should have just in case of an emergency. So because we've been doing matches for everything else over the years, we wanted to do this so that families could have this, not knowing that the pandemic was going to hit, so that if an emergency hit, which right after we did this, it hit. It wouldn't have a harsh impact on their regular financial budget.
Okay.
So how it works is that they are to save, just like in all of our programs, they save $700 in 3 months, and they make a deposit each month in one of our partner programs, and we will match them $300 to give them that total $1,000. So in doing that, that is a start, not a stop, just because they're getting, you know, the matching funds from us. They're getting that with the hope that they will continue. You know, anything you do for 21 days becomes a habit.
Right.
So we really hope that that habit is instilled in them and they will continue to add to that $1,000.
Okay. So let's do those stats again. They have how many months to save that $700?
3 months.
3 months. Sounds a little aggressive for some, but let's say that they come into the program with a bit of savings already. Can that be counted toward that $700?
It can. Our monies are stereotypically supposed to come just from employment. So if their funds are, which most are, coming from employment and they just put it in another account, it's still counted towards their savings. Yep.
Okay. So people who already have that habit, or at least have that a bit of a savings cushion, then they've kind of got a jump start. Okay, great. I want to go ahead and at least let's put out the details of how people would sign up or contact you. I want to do that in the beginning, in the middle, and the end. So we may repeat that a couple of times. Give them a phone number and a website.
Wonderful. So the best way to sign up for the program, everybody has to attend the orientation first. So in order to register for the orientation, you would go on our website, and I'll quote that site address for you. It is www.work-pa.com.
And I think within there, then, there's a link for the savings programs, and there's where they can register.
There are two links. One is for emergency savings, which is what we're talking about, and then there's another one for the family savings, which we're about to talk about.
Okay. All right, great. So, all right, let's go ahead and move it. I may come back to the emergency savings. It sounds like a really great program. Congratulations to you all for coming up with a new way. Actually, before we leave that, can you give us some stats on how many people participated? What kind of savings did they accrue? How's that going?
Sure. We've had about 30 people go through the program and be successful in it to date. Again, we just started it last year, and we are open for many more. So if people are interested, we highly encourage you to jump on there as soon as possible. It's free. You don't have to pay it back. It is a grant, but it's money to help you build you.
Yes.
So we really encourage you to jump on.
Yeah. And I always like to refer to, my top 10 tools. Emergency savings is really at the top of my list. I think it's in one of the top three, because as we learned with COVID, you know, these things can happen that we never thought could happen. You know, I mean, like most people think about, oh, my goodness, if I lose a tire on my car or something happens to the house. But, you know, who thought of a pandemic would come? Right. So many people were out of work, and you know, I'm really grateful for that. You know, the I guess we're now up to our third stimulus, but the fact is that is going to run out. So it's really, really, really important to always have a cushion. Always have a cushion. Are the criteria for the emergency savings, which we've just been talking about, and the family savings the same in terms of eligibility?
Let me just elaborate on the criteria.
Good, yes.
You have to be employed in order to do both the family savings and the emergency savings. That's a no negotiation. You have to be within a certain income guideline, which is on our flyers, and you have to just be able to save in one of our partner banks, which means you have to open an account, meaning not be in a check system or something like that. That would hinder you from opening a new bank account. Other than that, you just need to be committed to yourself and do what's necessary to save the money.
Okay. So who are the partner institutions that they'll be saving with?
So they have a choice. So for most of our families, we encourage them to go to Trumont Financial, which is one of our partner banks. The reason being is because they do a really seamless savings update to both the client as well as us, so that we get really accurate statistics on the program and what the client is actually doing. But other partner banks are Citizens Bank and Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. They are able to use those as options as well in order to just do their savings. And remember, those accounts are temporary. They can only, they're going to open the account just to do the savings for the program, and at the end, part of the requirements of graduating from my program is for them to actually close the account.
Okay.
And then they can continue to stay there if they like.
Interesting. So they would close that essentially the work account, and then move their money over to a different account. And I like that you have two credit unions in there. Trumark Financial, I'm pretty sure, is a credit union also, right? Like just like Philadelphia Federal?
Trumark is a bank.
Is it? Okay. I thought it was a credit union. All right, great. So you've got some clear partners. They have to open those accounts there. They'll learn all of this when they register and attend the, right now it's all online, right? So it's a virtual orientation?
Yep, via Zoom. All of our orientations are via Zoom. And we try to keep it really high impact and interactive. They're going to learn a lot just from the program, about the program, but just really gather and garner some tips on how to save, because some people just don't know how to do it. They're used to paying bills, but
right.
savings for themselves and their own family is not always the goal for them.
Right. Or it hasn't been established as sort of like a real habit. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, I really hope a lot of people follow up with you, because this is an amazing program. And yeah, so this, the one we just talked about, the emergency savings, if you save $700, you'll get $300 for a total of $1,000.
Yep.
That's nice. That's
yes,
nice free money. Let's now move into the other one that's even more generous. So let's talk about the family savings account.
Yes. So the other program that we offer is called Family Savings Account. And so how the Family Savings Account works is really similar to the Emergency Savings Program that we just discussed. However, under the Family Savings, you're going to, as Vanessa just said, you're going to get a higher match. How it works is that you can select one of three goals. The goals are home ownership, education, and small business. So we'll start with the, I guess, smaller first. So I'll start with education. For education, you have to be an undergraduate. We can't allow you to save for graduate programs. Sorry, graduates.
Okay.
But only undergraduates or some type of vocational school. So you would, under that, you would save $1,000 in 3 months, and you would get $3,000. The total $4,000 would go towards tuition, books, or technology at your school. And it's a great program. It has helped many students to be able to continue to stay in college. The second one is for business. Now, there are kind of like a prerequisite for you to participate in our business program. What that is, you would save $1,500 and you too would get $3,000 for a total of $4,500 that would go towards your business. And under the business program, you would have to use the money to purchase a hard asset under your business, meaning you can purchase inventory or you can buy supplies, furniture, things like that for your business. The only prerequisite is that you, in order to enroll in the family savings program for business, you have to participate in our business training or have a business loan with us. In addition to the family savings account program, Women's Opportunities Resource Center is a micro enterprise. So we offer business training and we offer business lending as well. So you have to participate in one of those two first before you are allowed to participate in the business savings with me.
Okay.
The third one is, go ahead.
Let me just clarify. So, but still the first step for that program, even though they have to do the other programs first, they should go to the orientation for the savings program.
Yep.
And then they'll learn how to get involved with the business aspect. Okay, great.
Yeah, and we would direct them to where they need to go for the other programs.
Great.
Now, the third one is one that a lot of people love, and that is the home purchase program. So, and it's the highest match of all of them. You would save under that one $2,000, and we would match you $4,000 for a total of $6,000 that would go towards your closing costs. Now, the prerequisite for that one is that you would have to have a credit score of 640 or above. Why? Because it's only a three-month savings for that. Immediately after you finish the savings, you have to be in position to get pre-approved and be ready to purchase in those 3 months.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that money is expended kind of quickly. So we want to make sure that you are in position and your credit and all of that is good before you enroll in the program. So we do a soft pull on our clients before, a soft credit report pull on our clients for a home ownership that before they enroll so that we can make sure that they're in making that criteria.
Okay.
Most people love that one because it is a lot of money in a short period of time.
So let's start with that one. Tell us some stories from the home ownership. How many folks have gone through that successfully?
Oh, wow. I've been doing this for 12 years. So I think for homeowners, we've done over 123 families, if I remember correctly. And in terms of stories, it's been so many because home ownership is a big goal for a lot of people.
Yes.
But they don't always follow through. And so just one particular lady stands out. I remember her coming to my office when, you know, we were doing work in the office, and she was crying because she thought that she did not, she was not going to be able to do this at all. And outside of WORC, I'm also a PA state licensed real estate agent.
Ah.
So I'm unable to represent her as an agent, but I can counsel her. And so that's what I did, counsel her on what you need to do. In order to purchase a home, anybody, that's even if you're not doing this program, you have to do two things, credit repair and savings. Those are the primary two steps, and that's what I went over with her.
Mm-hmm.
If you repair your credit and you're consistent with that, you will be successful. If you build your money and save it, you will be successful. And I walked her step by step through the home ownership process. We connected her with a real estate agent, and she is now a successful homeowner, single mother with three children.
Wow.
So proud of her. She's now looking to begin purchasing a rental property so that she can make she got the home ownership fever.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Indie Radio Garden. This is Megan Hurley from the Spanish language radio station WCNULP 102.5 FM Radio Capa. Take care, everyone. Indie Radio Garden is a Prometheus Radio Project production.